thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
My nickname is Gloom.
And inform you in the afternoon.
People who like licorice really like licorice.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think just tension in the locker room as far as if things are down. We have to find a way to smile and go out and refocus on the game now versus kind of what's been going on. I think this year will be a little different. You know, I'm going to approach things a little differently as far as, you know, if I'm not playing well or if we're losing and whatnot, I can do my best to try and find a way to get everybody back happy, smiling, excited, and going to play.
Is it excuse making for what happened in the postseason? Because that makes no sense. If it was such a miserable atmosphere and John Farrell was such an anchor and a drag on this team, how'd they win 93 games each of the last 2 years?
Well, right. Ultimately, it didn't affect them. And the other thing is, and I read an interview recently involving Dustin Pedroia. So I can't remember if it was Rod Bradford or wherever. I think that's where I saw it. But Pedroia said the opposite. So I'd like the Red Sox to get their story straight. First of all, that you have these guys acknowledging there was tension and that there were issues in the clubhouse. Pedroia says there was no problems at all. So which one is it? Like, I just think, again, I think these guys are all lying. I think, and they're lying about different things. In the case of Pedroia, there were internal problems, clearly. In the case of the players, the internal problems ultimately didn't hurt you in the regular season. Because if you weren't during a losing streak, they still won. In October, they still got their faces kicked in.
But there's one thing they're not lying about, though. They all want to have more fun.
Oh, it's unbelievable, Murray, right?
I mean, what much more fun can you have? All the dancing every single time you win a game. You need whoopee cushions to put on the bench? Slide whistles? Stop with this. I hate it.
I'm sick of hearing about fun as well. Talk about winning. But the thing is, we've seen teams that have problems internally, and it gets in the way. 2011. What was that real bad Red Sox team? Was it 0-1?
Oh, yeah, 0-1 was a problem. Yeah, that team had a lot of problems internally.
Just like a rotten red. So, you know, and it catches up to you in the regular season. You don't make the postseason, and it's the Bobby Valentine year, right? Like, those are real dysfunctional teams that had real problems, and you could really see it. If these players are trying to pass this off the last couple of years, is that? How do you explain them winning 93? You know, that just doesn't add up. It comes across as excuse-making.
I think it is excuse-making. I think these guys are having trouble dealing with the expectation that comes with playing in Boston. That's what I think it is. And all of a sudden, because again, they say, well, you know, we did have some things going. Okay, fine. You did win the division. You did. It's not like you finished as the wild card with 88 wins. And because of a losing streak that you couldn't get out of, you had to play the play-in game. That's not what happened. You got into the playoffs. And at that point, I'd like to think you are fully focused on the task, and then you get your faces kicked in by the Astros. So where's the problem?
Okay, we've got that on the table. We've got the Celtics and their slide, the Isaiah Thomas and Rajon Rondo situation. We've opened up the Butler and the Patriots thing again just because it's been a couple days since we hit on it, and the Red Sox. So you can weigh in on whatever you want. We will go here in longest order of wait. Let's do a Matt in Barrington on the Celtics. Jimmy, if you could, on line one. Matt in Barrington, you're up next. Hi, Matt.
Hey, I was just wondering how important you think Marcus Smart has been for our success this season, and do you think his injury is one of the big reasons why we're limping into the All-Star break?
So I will drop you, and we've hit on this a couple times. I think it's shown up. I think it's definitely a factor, but now it's starting to get overplayed. Now it's starting to get overplayed that Marcus Smart is somehow the difference maker. He's someone who I think you're missing his toughness and his hustle and these games where you look sort of soft and passive and, you know, all these blowouts where you're getting behind by big margins. I think he would have made a difference in those situations. But I think, Maz, you mentioned it before. It's gone a little too far. Like, Marcus Smart now is the straw that stirs the drink?
I mean, how many points do you expect him to take away from the opposition? 40? Like, again, they gave up 129 last night. The game before it was 121. They lost to the Pacers before that. The only win they have in the last five is the Wizards game, which, frankly, I think Washington puked on themselves at the end.
Oh, lucky. Three points with 12 seconds left.
So you really should be riding a five-game losing streak into the break. You really should. And I think what has happened the last couple...
It's fun how you do that.
...is they've shut... Yeah, you like that. Yeah. Huh? It's a manipulation.
Well, no, but he's right. That Bullets win was a gift.
So I did. I took one away, though.
I would have given it to you if you said asterisk because John Wall didn't play, but if you want to go that route, fine.
And there's that, too, Murray, since you added it to the discussion. But I think that what happened in the last couple, especially, is they looked at it and they said, the break's coming up. We're shutting it down. I think these last two games, frankly, they've coasted.
Oh, it feels like it. In the defensive end, you know, from Brown and Tatum, those two specifically, and Al Horford, it looks like, yeah, all right, all-star break, and then we'll figure it out afterwards. Like, last night, I feel like they don't miss Smart. Games like the loss to Toronto, like a week and a half ago, whatever it was, like, that's where it's like, okay, you have no perimeter defense. You miss him terribly. Attitude-wise, they do. But last night, no. That was about the lack of defense in the paint, and especially Al Horford and his flat foot. Oh, another someone else blows by, and poof, the magician's back, everybody. I'm going to disappear tonight. This time it's on the defensive side of the floor. He's been bad lately defensively. It's starting to piss me off. Thank you, Jimmy.
And Stevens knows they've shut it down, too. Stevens knows that he's going to let it go because, you know, they played a lot of games. They had the London trip and everything else. But he knows they weren't interested in playing the last two games.
But the good news is they have Greg Monroe to come off the bench and supplant their big man minutes. Greg Monroe, he's here to save the day. What a waste of the designated player money that was.
Here's Kevin in UMass on line six on the Patriots. James, Kevin, go ahead. You're up next with Felger and Maz. Hi.
Yeah, so do you think it's possible that Belichick just wanted to sacrifice speed and agility for his size and strength? Like, because Butler's kind of getting ragdoll on some run blocks in the playoffs. Like, Richards, Vadmosi, and Rowe off some weight on him. And, like, with these two bruising backs with Ajayi and your boy LeGarrette, kind of makes sense. Like, I just can't imagine Belichick would put his ego in front of a Super Bowl ring. Like, I know he's got seven of them, but...
See, I don't think he put it in front of the Super Bowl ring. I'll just tell you again. The ego was involved, but he thought he was going to win. And he just about did. I mean, how many times has he? How many times has he done something just because he felt like it or he had a hunch or, you know, but and they win because of Tom Brady or they're just smarter than everybody else and they end up winning. But he wasn't necessarily right about that specific thing. And he was on his way to winning that game. So he was not sacked. No one's ever said, I haven't said this. Anyone with half a brain is not saying he's trying to lose the game. He thinks he can win it on his terms. And your thing about a more physical nature because of the running backs, maybe, to go into the game, sure, fine. To start the game, it could have been any number of things. How do you account for not adjusting? You know, when you couldn't stop them.
No, and
you
the,
couldn't stop them. They're on their way to 41 points, and you do nothing?
And
that's the one you can't explain.
The first second-half possession for the Eagles, it's third and six. Johnson Bademosi misses on that tackle on Nelson Aguilar. He goes for 17 yards. It ends up being a scoring drive for the Eagles. At that point, Belichick, I think, has to realize, I got to fix this. I got to put Butler in, and he didn't.
I mean, it really is stunning because honestly, I didn't like their game plan to start. Let me say that. The fact that Eric Rowe was on Jeffrey, stupid. That's the whole point of having Gilmore. What the hell is Eric Rowe right. doing on Jeffrey? And then they admitted that mistake as the game went along because they put Gilmore on Jeffrey and effectively took Jeffrey out of the game as a result. So why couldn't they do the second part of that and put Butler in the game?
Mike in Dorchester, quickly, what do you got for us, Mike, on line two?
Hey, real quick on the conspiracy theory with Belichick. I think he got rid of Garoppolo because he's planning on retiring, and if he got rid of him with no prospects of coming up, the Patriots would be no good once Brady retires. And
so I don't think he's – see, Mike, and I'm just going to stop you there because I don't think he's purposely trying to submarine games or seasons. I think that's – if you want to believe that, then we have to go somewhere else with this. Like, because he's not doing that. He's not trying to lose games or he's not trying to destroy the team. But he thinks he can succeed and do it on his terms, okay? And it's a miscalculation. I can try this drop kick. I've always wanted to try it. My dad did it back with the Lions in the 30s. I always thought this is sort of neat. And we're up by 14 points, so it's not going to matter. So I'm going to try the drop kick. And he was wrong. He still thought he was going to win the game, wanted to win the game, didn't purposely try and lose the game, but did it just because he had his own little personal itch that he wanted to scratch. He's not trying to kill the Patriots, but he liked Garoppolo. He likes the Shanahans, so he took care of a couple people that he likes. He hates Butler, and Butler did something, obviously, at some point in the week, and he said, you know what? Screw this kid. Take a seat. I'm going to win anyway. He's still trying to win. I don't want to hear about this thing that he's not trying to win. That's dumb as it gets with all these conspiracy theories. That's just, I have no patience for that.
I got a theory, Mike. No, he's all of a sudden, Belichick's got a gambling problem, and he got in deep with the Sharks.
more coming up with your wonderful
Andy
phone calls
Reed,
after these words.
Mike Shanahan, friends of Belichick.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Felger.
I like Antetokounmpo. Stupid. They're so stupid. 98.5 Sports
Hub. And the Celtics, who were the runaway best defensive team in the league for the first half of the year and beyond, have some work to do, but now they've got the time to do it. A disappointing finish to this final stretch before the All-Star break. The Celtics thought they had survived the gauntlet of the schedule before London, but ever since they got back from the UK, it has gotten ugly with a lot of L's. The Celtics lose for the ninth time in 15 games since London, and they'll go into the All-Star break 2 games back in the Eastern Conference. The final score, L.A. 129, Boston 119.
Brighton, we continue with your phone calls. We've hit on the Celtics and their slide, and Rondo and Isaiah Thomas getting thrown out of a game in the first quarter last night, arguing over his Furkacta highlight video that never ran at the Garden, which is just so insane it's not even funny. But it got into a whole debate about, I don't know, who was more important in Rondo's prominence on the team, and so we've been arguing that all day. Josh in Somerville, I think, wants to weigh in. Go ahead, Josh, what do you got?
Hey, guys, hey, 10-time, long-time, baby. So first off, Rondo is indeed a putt, as you say, and I agree with that, but he's 100% right on this issue, but that's not what I'm calling about. The reason I'm calling is Rondo's move last night definitely had KG's DNA and his fingerprints all over it in two parts. So first off, KG's known for what? Trash talking, oftentimes saying something below the belt until they lose their minds and get thrown out of the game or just simply just lose their composure. That's his DNA. That's Rondo's big brother and mentor. But finally his fingerprint. These two sat together for 5 hours the other night. You don't think KG was chirping in his ear the whole time saying, hey, grasshopper, you better go get that little mouthy little peanut? You know what to do. That's what we taught you.
Josh, I think it's a great point. Absolutely. That reeked of Garnett. You know, maybe Rondo thinks he's Garnett, you know, and that's sort of part of the problem. Like, that's my issue with Rondo. Like, you suck, too. You're a nobody, too. You know, you're not Garnett. But, you know, Josh, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. The numbers that just stand out. And, again, and the story is just how far Isaiah has fallen. Like, by the end of last year, Maz, did you agree that Isaiah Thomas was a max contract guy?
I was pretty darn close. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I had all but caved into that. Yep.
I mean, I had. I say he's a max guy. Murray, where were you?
Yeah, I was. If Kyle Lowry could get 3 years, $100 million, then yeah, after the season that Isaiah Thomas had, or seasons, the last couple, yeah, he deserved that kind of money.
I don't even remember what Stewart said, but
I thought Avery Bradley was the better player and should have been compensated more.
Just the Grinch coming over the top.
I don't want to go back and check the tape. I'll take your word for it. The point is that it was almost a consensus opinion by the end of the year that Isaiah should be a max guy. Like, we debated whether the Celtics should be the ones to give it to him. I mean, maybe that's where I was, that he's a max player, but it doesn't have to be here. But I think we all sort of, you know, so he reaches this stature. And now, not even, what, 6 months later? Do you know how far he has fallen?
It's ridiculous. And
so, again, these numbers and what he's meant to the teams that he's been on this year. When he started playing December 21st for the Cavaliers had won 19 of their previous 21 games. They were 19-2. Then Isaiah came back, and they went 8-13. Then he gets traded, and now they're 3-0 since they got rid of him. The Lakers, before they acquired Isaiah Thomas, had won 8 of 10 and 12 of 16. They had won 12 of 16 prior to the deal. Since Isaiah got there, they're 0-2. Now he's coming off the bench for the Lakers, who still don't have Lonzo Ball, right?
Correct.
So he goes from you chanting MVP at him, and all of us agreeing, for the most part, that this is a max player, to coming off the bench for a team whose starting point guard is injured.
Yeah, but that's got nothing to do with me. It's everyone else I'm surrounded by. Luke Walton, he's in over his head as a coach. It's got nothing to do with me.
Again, Mickey Mouse taking over.
Just horrible.
Body. Tiny little guy.
Hello, boys and girls.
Yo, LeBron.
Bob and East.
The offense should run through me.
Bob and Easton joins us next. This should be good. Bob and Easton on line 5 on the Patriots. Hi, Bobby.
You know, during Patriot season, you guys are the three egregos. I mean, you agree, it's sickening. I mean, Felga, you know, I think the Patriots could blow this team out this weekend. But then again, I could see them losing by a field goal. And a mess. Yeah, you know, Mike, I agree. But you know what? I don't agree with their scheme. And Murray, hey, you want to hear my impression of Alton in my blowhorn? I think hearing aids are legal in the NFL. Listen, hey guys, when it comes to the Patriots, you guys are the biggest buffoons when it comes to any sports media. First of all, when you start talking about McDaniels and you try to sit there and, you know, wax poetic and all you, you know, what you think happened, did it ever occur to you that maybe Kraft and Belichick smartened up and agreed that they made the big mistake, or they, when Cornell and Weiss left, that they were hit hard, obviously, because they didn't go to the Super Bowl for, what, 9, 10 years? And they said, you know what, let's spice up McDaniel's contract and keep him here, because we can't lose him. Patricia, we can. Okay? Can it be that basic, that simple?
Hey, yeah. Bob.
It could be, but I don't think so.
Bob, 3 years...
They kept him here to make him the next head coach.
Bob, three years after they lost Cornell and Weiss, they went 18-0.
It's that simple, okay? And secondly, Butler, when you guys talk about Belichick, it's funny how you guys focus on the quote-unquote mistakes he makes. You guys, what were you guys saying when they sat Arrington in the Super Bowl against Seattle and put Butler in? You didn't even know who Malcolm Butler was. What were you guys saying?
We said, yeah, but, yeah, move.
Exactly.
But Bob, this is the point. This is the point that in that game, they were having trouble with Chris Matthews. They moved Browner onto him. They took Arrington out and they put Butler in. They made an adjustment. Based on their personnel, there was something they couldn't defend and they made an adjustment. How did Butler not get in this game at all? I mean, they got torched way worse in this game than they did in the Seattle game, and yet in the Seattle game, he's willing to make a change. Okay, this game he wasn't. Why?
When he did something right, we said he did something right. When he did something wrong, we said he did something wrong. And the thing about the coordinators, Bob said it had been 10 years since they went to the Super Bowl, right? Obviously, that was wrong. They were, man's good point. They were 18-0 3 years later. But they could have kept McDaniels just because they wanted to keep the coordinator. It's possible. I don't think it was. I think they kept him because he's the next guy, and they're protecting themselves against Belichick leaving sooner than later. That's just what I think. Let's grab line six, Jimmy, if we could. Michael in Medford on the Malcolm Butler situation. Hi, Michael. Michael, are you there? Okay, snooze, you lose. Let's go to Dave in Manchester on the Red Sox. Jimmy, line three. Dave in Manchester up next with Felger and Maz. Hi, David.
Hi. Love the show, guys. Thanks for taking my call. As far as the Red Sox, let's not waste any more time with happiness or talk about power. We don't have any power. There's no sense trying to build an offense around something you don't have. But what we do have is a lot of guys who are good hitters and a lot of guys that got a decent speed. Let's do something really heretical and play small ball.
So, Dave, are you still there? You broke up for a second. What did you say they don't have? They don't have what?
They don't have power, and apparently they don't have much happiness.
Okay, David, thank you for this. So they're going to be a happy team that bunts, Maz.
No, a team that bunts is a happy team, Mike. Don't you know that? Like, again, we can bring in the Disney World Mickey Mouse for Murray here if you want. I just wanted to hear the guy say power again because they don't have any power. They need power. So since
this
they don't,
happy crap, man.
Since they don't have any power, I think they should play small ball.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's just two games. A lot of people talk about there's nothing to get too excited about. I don't look at it that way. I don't view things that way. I know basketball. I know talent when I see it. I know when talent is gelling. And I'm saying Cleveland is something to look forward to. I'm of the mindset right now they'll cakewalk through the East. Because when you add 3 25-year-olds and an experienced point guard like George Hill, who's known as being a quality defender against opposing point guards, not to mention somebody capable of hitting three-point shots of his own. When you have that at your disposal, when you have that available to you, you have upgraded exponentially. And if you've done that, how are we to look at the rest of the East? In Boston, Kyrie doesn't, I mean, they don't have any depth. Toronto with DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, you don't know whether you can trust them. The Washington Wizards got emotional issues. Who's going to stand in the way of the Cavs? The Cavs are going, if they cakewalked last year through the Eastern Conference, why wouldn't they do it this year? Because Kyrie's in Boston, that's all you got. That ain't good enough.
Dan's in Milton. Dan, what do you got?
Yeah, I was just wondering, I think we can all agree that Belichick only made the Butler move thinking that he could still win the game. Do you think it was more the fact that Nick Foles is the quarterback, Peterson's the head coach, both? And then what if Wentz is starting that game? Does he make that move? I'll hang up on this.
Okay. Felger, you get an opinion?
Yeah. Well, you answer it first.
So, look, I think Foles was part of it. I think he looked at the – and so was Peterson, for that matter. I think he looked at the Eagles, and he said, we can beat these guys without Malcolm Butler because Foles isn't good enough, and they probably won't be able to execute down the stretch, and so ultimately I'm going to get away with it. So did the opponent factor in? Of course, yeah. If Wentz is the quarterback, does he try to pull it? I don't know. It's a good question. I doubt it. I mean, I doubt that he would try to do it that way because I think he's got more respect – for Carson Wentz's ability than he does for Nick Foles. We'll never know, but I, you know, would he have tried that stupid ass mortar kick against the Eagles 3 years ago if he thought they were good? No way.
He was, if they weren't up 14 points, they were up 14 points in the first half. He's like, this is a walk away. It's a perfect chance to try this stupid little thing. The thing I just will not accept is that he thought I was going to lose him the game. He thought he was going to win. He thought he was going to win. He did it, and he thought he would win anyway. And he's not going to do something. If he thought that move would lose him the game, he would have swallowed his pride, his prodigious ego and pride. He would have swallowed it and played the player if he thought it was going to lose him the game. He thought he was going to win at the end.
I mean, he, go ahead, Mike.
And he was almost right. He was right there. That strip sack, he does win the game.
I just think it's totally consistent with who Bill is. When you look at it in those terms, he generally, not all players, but generally looks at them as pawns. And so I'll take one guy out, I'll plug another guy in, and as long as Brady's the quarterback and I got the key guys that I need, Gronk and Brady and some of the other people, we will be fine. And I have McCourty on defense or whoever else he considers to be his sort of centerpiece core guys that he can be in control on the field with, then he's fine. And this to me goes back to that whole Jonathan Baldwin, Julio Jones story. They're the same player. You can get this guy at 29. That's how Bill looks at it.
All right, let's grab Natasha in the car on the Celtics and their issues. Natasha, you're up next with Felger and Maz. Hi.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I don't know if you guys already brought this up, but I just feel like there's some locker room issues with the Celtics. When Kai was out those three games and Terry was able to get his hands on the ball, look at how awesome he did. And I don't know why Marcus punched that picture frame. It couldn't have been about the game. They did well on that. So that was my take.
Nice job, Natasha. We'll let you go. Jimmy Stewart, you have any hypotheticals as it relates to locker room issues with the Celtics?
I don't.
So look, the smart thing in L.A. happened the night that he missed the three at the buzzer. Right. And then there was the Instagram post or whatever that allegedly may have sent him into orbit. And I don't remember how much of that was reported by the mainstream media and how much of it was, you know, on the less mainstream media. So I don't know. Maybe it's possible. I suppose there's something internal there. I just think Smart did something dumb. To me, it's that simple.
Yeah. And I think your thing about, you know, some of the guys looking to the All-Star break and shutting it down is also... seems like a pretty standard NBA thing, or seems like a pretty reasonable conclusion. Mike in Woburn wants to weigh in. Line three, I haven't done any Bruins today, but we did a lot on Bergeron in the MVP yesterday. He wants to weigh in on that. Should Bergeron be an MVP candidate, Mike?
Of course he should, but we're talking about hockey writers deciding this. So this is a group that routinely caters to the Crosbys and the superstars of the world. Case in point, the Conn Smythe, when the Penguins won the first of the back-to-back awards, Crosby had series where he didn't score. And the Kessel, Hagelin, Bonino line carried that team throughout the playoffs. They had the most points of any line on that team. Who's the Conn Smythe? Sidney Crosby. Ball washing 101. cover your ass when you're the media, because we want to get quotes from Sid, not from Bonino. So Will Bergeron, does he have the star power to garner votes from Moose Jaw and Quebec? I don't know. I think he deserves it. If you took Bergeron out of the Bruins lineup, who slots in between Pastrnak and Marchand, and then move all the centers up in the lineup? What does this team look like? How many wins do they have? Are they almost on top of the Eastern Conference and almost on top of the entire NHL? Probably not. MVP, most valuable. Connor McDavid will get votes, believe it or not, even though they're in the basement and Edmonton could have Chris Kelly as their number one center and still be the same type of team lurking around in the basement. So to me, it's more of a media thing, whether they do the right thing and vote as the award dictates, or do they just look at the points column and cash it in and hope that I can tell Sid, hey, I voted for you for MVP this year?
Well, Mike, and it's a good call. It's right. It's what will happen versus what should happen. And what should happen is a guy like Bergeron should get consideration, but he's not a legit candidate because if you go historically, it's the point getters. Again, we gave you these yesterday. Here are the last 12 or so NHL MVPs. Connor McDavid, Patrick Kane, Sidney Crosby, Alex Ovechkin, Evgeny Malkin, Corey Perry, Henrik Sedin, Alex Ovechkin twice, Sidney Crosby, Joe Thornton. Okay, so there's 11. Here's where they ranked in scoring. First, tied third, first, third, first, second, first. Right now Bergeron ranks 31st.
Okay,
there's no precedent for it. It's not even close.
Okay, so that's the reality of it. But again,
that's the reality of it.
So use his, but use Mike and Woburn's analysis of it, right? Take Bergeron off the Bruins. Where are they?
They're deep. They're 10 games worse.
Oh, easily, right? I mean, like, yep. So if you go by, and I like looking at it that way versus just the Player of the Year award. Like, you know, if you win the scoring title, you get acknowledged anyway. But who is the guy that the biggest burden has been put on? Bergeron is carrying a ton of weight for this team. A ton.
No, no question about it. But I don't think, again, if he's ranking in the 30s in points, I don't think there's any shot. Scott in Maine has a thought on the Celtics on line 5. Scott, thanks for joining Felger and Maserati. Hi, Scott.
Hey, how you doing? Good. I think the thing that we've liked about the Celtics all year is their ability to come back from double-digit deficits. I think that to tag on with Maz, that's probably tired them out a little bit, particularly the younger guys. It takes a lot to come back from double-digit point deficits, and they've done it a bunch this year. So I hope the All-Star break will give them the rest that they need. Maz, I got one message for the 3Bs. Stop dancing in the outfield and get us through the first round. Thank you.
I mean, they're not having fun. I mean, all this complaining about not having fun last year. What's all that dancing about, Murray?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just not enough fun, though. We need to really... Now, you know, Manager John, really, he kept an eye on us, and he didn't want any more fun than that. Meanwhile, we wanted to have more fun. We wanted whoopee cushions on the bench. We wanted to have slide whistles. We wanted to have slush. You know, it can be very hot in that clubhouse someday. How about a nice lemon slush or something like that, huh? Now that's fun. These guys, shut the hell up. It's too much with the dancing. The dancing didn't bother me, but after they got skunked again in the first round, enough with
you,
the
Murray.
Dancing and fun. I'm done with it.
So, you know, they actually get asked about this today, right? I think Shaughnessy asked.
Dancing?
Yeah, yeah. Jimmy, play the cut. It's Shaughnessy asked Betts about the dancing. Go ahead.
Should we expect the outfield dance after the wins?
We hadn't come and talked about it just yet. I'm sure we'll talk about it here soon.
What's to talk about? How about stump? That's it. No, we got to discuss how the choreography we're going to do this year. We're going to move on from Michael Jackson and now do some Bruno Mars moves instead.
Hee-hoo! Ooh!
Watch out, Skip. We got you with the oh, we got him with the whoopee cushion. Aren't we having fun? High fives all around.
Guys, that was a laugh riot.
Oh, God. I already don't like this team, and they haven't even swung a bat. I mean, what do you... They were... Their antennas were up last year. They were oversensitive babies, and they're already talking about this kind of stuff, and it's the first few days of spring training. Oh my God!
No, they're the millennial Red Sox.
They really are.
No, they're entitled. Yeah, they get 93 wins. That should be good enough. Where's my raise? Where's my trophy? The millennial so Red Sox is what they are. Perfect. They're a perfect team for the millennials. Perfect.
Jerry on Cape Cod on the Patriots. Hi, Jerry. What do you got for us today? Line one.
It's actually Jen, but that's fine. So
hi,
shalom.
Jen.
Hi. I wanted to say one quick thing. All right, we have to stop analyzing this whole Patriots thing. Everybody's losing their marbles over it. And I think Andy Reid's coming to us as a coordinator. What do you think?
I don't think so. God, no. Jen, I'm sorry, but thanks for the call. No, I don't think Andy Reid's coming to us as a coordinator, and we're supposed to let that loss go? Are we ever going to let that loss go?
No.
God, no.
Should you?
No. I'm still pissed about the playoff loss to the Red Sox in 78. Are you kidding me? And the Bruins blowing that one to the Canadians, for crying out loud.
Right. I'm mad about the Steelers playoff loss 7-6 in 97. I'm not getting over this one. That was a Super Bowl that they should have had against Nick effing Foles.
God, 40 years ago, I'm still irate. Like, you think I've given this one up? It was 2 weeks ago. I got to hold on to this for at least a half century.
And that stupid mortar kick, my God.
Yeah, that one.
Let that go.
Oh, no,
that's
no,
a regular season game.
Please, and you think? Where do you think those are on my list relative to the trading of Garoppolo? Like the trading of Garoppolo, I'm never going to let go.
But seriously, if the Eagles don't win another Super Bowl and Foles just goes back to being a backup, and that's what you never see Philly again, and Foles recedes back to the that mush pit of backup borderline starter and never does a damn thing. You are going to look back at the end of this run and say it was great, five and but we, how did we lose that game? How did we lose to those bums, or that bum specifically?
Yeah, the answer will be because Belichick blew it.
Well, I mean, you almost want the Eagles to go on and be something, so it sort of validates who they are as a team. The final word is going to come your way next, so don't go anywhere.
Everybody's losing their marbles over it.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Blunt force trauma to run him right down their throat.
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Like me, not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go. Town Fair Tire. Best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. All right. Well, let's
nobody,
dive
right Jim.
In.
Nobody.
Thank you, Jimmy. Let's dive right in here. We have two callers that made the final word today. We'll start with Anthony in Lowell.
Anthony in Lowell joins us on our Rondo conversation. Jimmy, again, if you could help me, line three. Anthony in Lowell, you're up next. How you doing, Anthony?
I can't understand. It must be so difficult for Jimmy to sit in that studio with you guys and not lose his mind, where everything you say, Mike, 2 seconds after you say it, you must stick your hand somewhere on Maz and work his mouth like a puppet, because all he does is simply agree with you. And it's not until that Jimmy chimes in with actual facts on everything. The fact that the two of you sit there and think that
Jimmy Stewart's the fact master now. Okay.
Well, he absolutely is. He's the only one that ever questions anything you say. Absolutely, anything you say. Anything you say otherwise, Maz goes, yeah, absolutely, Mike, I agree with you. Absolutely, Mike.
What is your point? What is your point on Rondo?
My point on Rondo is without their general on the
Maz, I don't want to put my finger up your shirt, but I mean, you can go ahead and weigh in too.
No, that would be a neat trick to do that from Florida. Did he listen to the show the week we were at the Super Bowl when you were telling the world that the Eagles were going to get blown out, and I was telling people that the Eagles are going to win the game? Like, do people like that listen to the show, or do they just forge their impressions off of a 30-second segment that they heard because they're a bunch of ass clowns? Like, I'm wondering, like, is that what it is? I wonder whether people actually listen to the show, or they just make a judgment on one thing because they hate you so much they want to come in and strangle me on those occasions where I agree with you. Sorry, Rondo was never that good. Never that good. I'm done. Anthony and Lowell. Yeah, you gotta worry about that guy.
Another
four-star, another one of the many media critics in this town who doesn't have a sniff.
I like that cheap shot from Felger against Jimmy Stewart. Oh, yeah, he's the fact master.
Now he's the fact master.
Felger hates me.
The underground source guy is the fact master.
Hashtag fact master. All right, we also heard from Dave in Manchester with perhaps the best New England accent we've heard in quite some time today.
Yeah. Dave in Manchester on the Red Sox. Jimmy, line three. Dave in Manchester up next with Felger and Maz. Hi, David.
Hi. Love the show, guys. Thanks for taking my call. As the Red Sox, let's not waste any more time with happiness or talk about power. We don't have any power. There's no sense trying to build an offense around something you don't have. But what we do have is a lot of guys who are good hitters and a lot of guys that got a decent speed. Let's do something really heretical and play small ball.
So, Dave, are you still there? You broke up for a second. What did you say they don't have? They don't have what?
They don't have power. We're talking about power. We don't have any power.
P-O-W-A-H.
Yeah, I thought you'd even leave off the H. I just go P-O-W-A.
We're talking about power.
Power.
We don't have any power.
Felger and Maz.